This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
One team on the ladies' side already ticketed for the Sweet 16. Muffet McGraw here in seconds. Three of them on the men's card, and we go to South Bend this morning. Here is the Hall of Fame coach joining Packer and Durham this morning. Good morning, Muffet. How are we?
Oh, I'm so happy to be a guest because, you know, Kelly Gramlich seems to be your favorite.
Oh. Excuse me. You know, we can tell the disrespect coming from South Bend because you're not wearing a scarf. First of all, I'm upset with you with that deal. Second of all, and I went through the files, counting your days as a head basketball coach at Notre Dame and now as an ACC Network executive, this is your ninth appearance on Packer and Durham.
One more.
Ninth appearance. You're one away from a mug. One away.
Oh. Looking forward to that.
Now, Kelly, granted, she's got 20 appearances, so she has two mugs, but no, we don't play favorites. All right, so listen, what do we take from so far so good with the ACC and the men's side doing their thing, right? It's a pleasant surprise. What's our take on the women's side so far through the tournament?
Well, I think things are going pretty much as expected. I think Virginia Tech was probably the one, you know, that 5-12 game, that was an upset. And it was a time when Florida Gulf Coast is a much better team than 12 seed. So that was disappointing. But everyone else really has played to their seat. When you get in that 8-9 game, Miami did a great job against South Carolina, holding them to, what, less than 50 points, the number one team in the country. So that was exciting. But we got some great games today. North Carolina, Notre Dame, NC State, all getting ready to punch their ticket.
All right. That's the hope, right? You want to get everybody moving forward. It would appear Neal's task to play Sherry Cole and Norman is one thing. Courtney has to play Arizona on their home floor. You didn't have to do this much. You were the home team in a lot of these occasions in this tournament. So if you're one of those road coaches today having to play that home team, and we got caught up in this conversation last week about fives and not fours because this is the separator right here. So what's their biggest challenge today to get ready to play those games in Norman and Tucson?
The biggest challenge is to take the crowd out of the game. That is so important on the women's side when you have that home court advantage. So they've got to come out early and set a tone to take the crowd out right away. And that's going to be really important. And when you have a young team like both Notre Dame and North Carolina, that's kind of a difficult task. You're in a hostile environment. You really have to come out with some composure.
Olivia Miles, how about the triple-double the other day, Muffy? Listen, you coached for a long time. You had a lot of great players. But for a freshman to pull off what she did with the triple-double, that's really amazing, isn't that stat?
It really is amazing. Skylar Diggins did it, not as a freshman. Olivia, she's way ahead of the pace. She is, you know, was leading the nation in assists. Now I think she's second or third. I mean, to be that good as a freshman is really, it's going to be so fun to watch for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, to do it in your first NCAA tournament game, I mean, the stage is different, period, for the most veteran of players. And then you get there as a basically a second-year freshman, and you're doing it on that stage against a team like UMass. I mean, it doesn't matter who you do it against, you're still in the NCAA tournament. We hear about guard play a lot, and we talked about it with Miami's win against Auburn yesterday. It was one of the big advantages I thought Larrañaga's team had. Are we going to find the same here tonight with these three games, the guard play? Because I see veteran guards with every team, even with Courtney's team. She's got a transfer who was with her at Princeton who's come down to Chapel Hill and played great too. So is that the big key tonight?
I think guard play is always the big key in the NCAA tournament. But tonight we're in for a treat when we see NC State and Kansas State, two of the best centers in the country, both made the All-American team. 6'6 against 6'5. That is going to be really exciting. NC State played them earlier this year and got the win. But this is going to be a really good matchup. But I think you're right. The guard play for NC State is much better than K-State.
Muffet, I know we get the three games today, but I want to go to Louisville a second. You know, Jeff Walls, you never know how a bracket's going to break, right? That's the kind of the beauty of the tournament. Yeah. You got to be good. You got to be lucky. And then there's stuff you can't control. But you got to figure, if you're Jeff Walls getting out of bed today, you really could not have scripted a better case scenario. Number one, you're still alive. Number two, you head into the Sweet 16. Number three, you actually got tested yesterday. So unlike some teams that have just kind of rolled with easy wins, they got the pressure of being, hey, you're one of those teams. You're not supposed to lose this early. They got pushed. And on top of that, the number two seed in the region is out. You probably could not have scripted a better case scenario for Jeff Walls in Louisville at this point in time.
You really couldn't. And I had Baylor in my bracket, and I had to get out the big eraser and put Louisville back in the Final Four. They did get tested. You know, as a coach, I kind of liked playing that team that had an easy win before us because they were a little overconfident. I liked when we got tested. So that's a really great point. I think it's going to really help them forward.
Yeah, but here's the thing too, Muffet. The landscape of this event has been volatile. I mean, you know this. I mean, we talked about it being wide open on the men's side, and we've seen that with what? How many double figure seeds?
Four in the Sweet 16.
Four in the Sweet 16. The women's are giving it to us in rounds one and two. I mean, are we going to get all? Is this going to play out nationally? I know we're talking about the ACC here, but if I'm Wes Moore or I'm Jeff Walls or I'm feeling pretty good about Courtney Banghart and her situation, should I be a little nervous here or feel better about myself?
Oh, I feel so much better about it. When you look at all these mid-major coaches that are getting to play on a big stage and having this success, it's so exciting for the women's game because we've just not seen that in the past. And all these players that are stepping up. And honestly, I think the transfer portal has changed the landscape of the mid-major. You're seeing these players that have started at a Power Five. Now they go down and they're playing really well. I think the competition, the parity, the confidence. This is the most exciting tournament that we've had in a long time.
Muffet, if I allowed you to be the czar, if you're not already, but if I allowed you to be the czar of women's basketball, what would you change about the NCAA women's tournament?
Well, you know, as a coach, I loved having home court advantage. Now that I'm a fan, I'm like, why are they playing at home? But the reason they're playing at home is because of the crowds. You saw Iowa with a sellout. Arizona's got 10,000. All of these home court advantages, we're getting great crowds, and the NCAA needs that. It's a tournament atmosphere. We need to see this on TV. It's more exciting for the players and the fans. So I don't know if we're going to go away from that, especially when you see Baylor and Iowa losing on their home court.
Do you think Wes Moore had a valid concern and rant last week and complaint, given the fact that given what they accomplished, winning the ACC regular season, a league that put in eight teams in the dance, winning the ACC tournament, and their reward is going to Connecticut? You can never figure out how the crystal ball works, but if you do get chalk, did you understand at least where Wes was coming from? Because it seemed to make sense.
Oh, it's absolutely unfair. I honestly thought, why don't you just make Connecticut the number one seed? And then we could have put NC State in Wichita. And I'm sure Wes would have preferred that. Connecticut never has to travel. They don't ever get on a plane until the Final Four. I think there's been one game in the last 15 years. They went and played in Nebraska in the regional, and it was a neutral court. So they have the advantage every single year. And the question I would have is, why does the NCAA committee allow that to happen every year? We don't need a site in Connecticut every year. Let's move that around. So I absolutely feel for Wes. I've been there. I've played at Connecticut. It's a tough place to play.
So going back to my czar question, that would be issue number two, that we would go ahead and make that change.
Yeah, let's make it. I mean, why are they choosing it? And then they'll say, well, nobody put a bid on it. I just don't believe that. I think you got to work harder and find some different sites.
All right, I want to ask you about late night in Arizona tonight. Arizona was the national runner-up last year for the championship in San Antonio. Courtney's got a really good team, and Deja Kelly went crazy go nuts the other day when they needed her to against Stephen F. Austin, who was throwing in threes from the parking lot. This is a different type game tonight, and you already mentioned a big crowd at McHale Center. What do you like about Courtney's team in this game and this environment? They seem to play with a lot of poise, Muffet. I mean, the other day they could have folded up a little bit, and they didn't. They played with an edge to them. I think that'll come in handy tonight for some reason.
Oh, I think so too. They don't play like sophomores, and I think Littlefield is really the key for their team because she is the veteran. She's been in NCAA tournament. She knows what this is like. And for the rest of the team, they got nothing to lose now. That first game, they had to win that game. This game, you know, they're the underdogs, so they can play a little freer, a little looser, but they've got to do something early. And Arizona, not the same team as last year. They lost their point guard who went to the WNBA. So this is a different team, and I think a very equal team.
All right. By the way, we had Coach Ivy on last week. I asked her, I said, Miss Muffet, she's still calling you? She goes, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So with that said, 4-5 tonight, or is actually, what time is that game? 6 o'clock against Oklahoma.
How's that going to be?
So what would be the bit of advice in case Neil is watching the show this morning? What bit of advice would you give to the Irish tonight?
Well, you know, I always try to keep the team loose. And for me, that meant staying away from them because I was a ball of stress. So trying to relax and know that you have people that are helping you, your staff is with you, and you have to really kind of focus on how are we going to get this thing started? You know, let's script a few plays early. Let's decide here's what we're going to do for the first timeout. You know, the game is 4 minutes long. Let's just get to that first timeout and see how things are going.
All right, Coach. Thanks. Appreciate the time. Have a great Monday, and we'll talk
always
soon.
Always a pleasure. Looking forward to that mug.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. All right, Hall of Famer, you know, Muffet
the problem,
McGraw.
The problem with giving Muffet the mug on her 10th appearance, she's going to put a plan in it. That's the thing.
No. I think she'll actually have some morning coffee or tea out of it.
She is a trip.
Yep, a lot of fun. All right, when we come back, the ACC has sent, my heavens, three teams to the Sweet 16.
How did that happen?
Well, you just hang around a while, and all of a sudden, it'll all rise to the top on you. Canes are going, Heels are going, Blue Devils are going. We'll review it next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
So there's a ticket to the Sweet 16 on the line for the winner.
I'll always pull for Mike. I think he's done some things that'll go down in the lores of basketball. Ask me what I am, what I
play. I'm 75. To have moments like that, you got to be kidding me.
It's over. Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils headed to Sweet 16.
Some kind of basketball game in Greenville yesterday. Actually, a couple of them. What Miami did to Auburn was against the law. And Duke, Michigan State, just a great, great game.
Can I offer... congratulations to the Southern Conference and Furman University. They had a heck of a regional.
Yes, they did.
They had a heck of a regional. Great crowds. You'll remember the name Hunter Reed, you know, former SID at Furman, who I think is still the SID. He probably still is, Hunter. I'm sorry. Ralph Patterson, who used to be assistant coach years ago at Appalachian, was just recently the athletics director at Newberry down in South Carolina. Those guys coordinated the media operations for that event yesterday and over the weekend. They had a great regional. I texted with several folks that were there in a variety of capacities. They all had a great time. Said that it was just a smoothly run operation. Congratulations to them.
Greenville, South Carolina. I said this last week when we were kidding around. Greenville, South Carolina is a great town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For folks who've never been there, that Main Street, and they got a great restaurant scene. There's a cool vibe to Greenville SC. They've done
Halls.
A really, really.
Halls, Chop House, big time.
Well, I don't know if Nance got that steak or not.
I don't know if he did, but he should have. Jim knows good steak and a good bottle of wine, too. The calling is excellent.
But that's a cool town, Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's neat.
Hunter Reed is a legend in the Southern Conference and especially at Furman University. Nearly 40 years he's been with the Paladins. It's a lot of football and basketball. Congratulations to the folks in Greenville on a great job. And Duke and Michigan State was Final Four intensity yesterday at Bon Secours, at the Well, if you will. 85-76, the final. You see the numbers on Mark Williams, and he was impactful, especially late. I thought he really was a backline defender, as you'd anticipate. And you hear this term used about it's more than a shot block. He gets out and defends at 8 feet and creates problems from, you know, around the basket, not just at the basket. Well, that was showcased, I thought, in the last 6-7 minutes of the ball game defensively.
I would even say in the beginning of the game, Williams was terrific. Mm-hmm. Plus, he made a little fadeaway baseline jumper, which I didn't think was in his repertoire.
Yeah.
Which was strong. I just thought the intensity levels you pointed out of that game just felt like it was a different level than what we've seen. And Duke attacked. You mentioned 44 points in the paint.
Yeah.
They went right after Michigan State inside. And I think, like I said, it's a great precursor because the team they're going to play next out in beautiful San Francisco, home of the National League West winning San Francisco Giants. You know what? They don't give up any points in the paint.
That's
Texas Tech gives up 18 points a game. They're the best in college basketball. A bunch of tough guys. So Duke's toughness yesterday will certainly have to come into play on Thursday night.
Well, you see the top seed Gonzaga. I imagine they'll have some folks or two at the Chase Center in San Francisco.
A lot of chalk there. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Let me offer you this. That 1-4 game will be hand-to-hand.
Oh, no question.
Because
no doubt.
The only remaining team from the Southeastern Conference, in my opinion, is its most athletic team, its most talented team in terms of depth and, you know, positions from point to center and things of that nature. And that guy has all the edge you need on the bench, too. He's done a heck of a job at Arkansas.
Totally agree.
Oh,
100% agree.
Man, can he
coach. They're
a
fun team. And you know, the Zags were pushed by Memphis. They're down 12. I know one of the things that was intriguing to me about the tournament so far, there have been some surprise teams in leagues and disappointment in terms of teams and leagues, too.
Right.
But I think the thing that's been fun as a fan is to watch the number one seeds get pushed.
Yeah.
Right, we've already seen North Carolina eliminate Baylor, the defenders, right?
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Zags down 12 to Memphis in the second half and had to reach down deep and figure out a way to win. We saw Kansas pushed by Creighton, which was a really good basketball game too. And who am I missing out on?
You could say Gonzaga got pushed by Georgia State.
Arizona last night.
Oh, Arizona, yeah, with TCU.
Which they were, you know, if you didn't stay up late last night on the East Coast, TCU, Jamie Dixon's guys had them in trouble. So, you know, this has not been easy for the top seeds. One's already eliminated. The other three have been tested. But I agree with you. Gonzaga, Arkansas should be a very, very entertaining game Thursday.
Let's put a wrap on Greenville. Coach K and Paolo Banchero after the ball game.
I'm incredibly proud of my guys. You guys were terrific, man. I'm really proud to be your coach. You know, that it had nothing to do with coaching in those last 4 or 5 minutes. It all had to do with heart and togetherness. And they followed their hearts, and God bless them. You know, we're in the Sweet 16.
You know, we got down, and we was in the timeout, and we was like, look, you know, we got three, I think it was like 3:40-something or four minutes, and we was like, man, we got 4 minutes. We can either, you know, lay down or we can – no, turn it up.
You turned it up, my man. There's the last 5 minutes right there.
Yep, those numbers don't lie right there. It tells the story.
No doubt. So the Blue Devils move on. Oh boy, Tom Izzo, is he some kind of gracious in
class.
Defeat of the whole deal?
Oh, dude, he is class. He's a great coach, quality guy, great program, big time.
Yep.
Big time.
And I said this in hour one. I'll re-say it here. That's the kind of game Mike Krzyzewski's going to miss. That's what he's going to miss. The camaraderie, the team bonding, that whole emotional ride that you can only get, the juice you only get from the game.
Yeah, but he'll get that from his SiriusXM show.
You're out of your mind. Stop. Would you stop?
He'll get it.
No.
It's a different challenge.
No, it's not the kind of juice.
Oh, yeah.
That, no.
He'll find out. You know, you
talk to the flowers. You can do all those things.
You just can't roll in there and just pretend like I haven't prepped and I'm going to go do a show. You got to work at it.
He does.
Coach K.
Yeah.
He'll still have that juice from SiriusXM.
The SiriusXM Basketball and Beyond show.
And we'll do our best job on off campus to do a nice lead into his program every week.
Do you think when he gets frustrated, he'll just call up and drop by and want to hop on here just to tell us things that we've done wrong in order to, you know, kind of coach us up?
No.
No, just check. Because we've had a great time with him. It's been awesome.
You know what I hope he does get, though? And I'm dead serious about this.
Okay.
When this is all said and done.
Sure.
And he can finally just kind of decompress from this pressure in the buildup, whether he cuts the Nets down or loses Thursday night, whatever it is. I can't wait for him to get a dog, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and his dog, Blue, he lost his dog, Blue, which I did not know, and we asked him that question, and he told us. It took me, because, again, I love my two pups, right? But I think when he gets his dog, he'll be good to go, man. A man and his dog. Just telling you, Wes. You don't understand it.
Or his cat.
No, he's a dog guy. Look at that. Chester's waiting on Haley Van Lith. He's like, come on, boys.
Well, Chester, you're out of luck. We've already covered that.
I know, but he's excited.
Yeah,
Louisville's in the Sweet 16.
That and looks like a throw pillow today. All right. On the other side, Miami and Carolina. Well, let's cover the Canes here real quick.
Whatever you want to do. Well, I didn't know you were going to commercial.
I thought we might want to. Anyway, Miami beat Auburn 79-61. That was game two in Greenville yesterday at the Well. And the Canes went wire to wire on Bruce Pearl.
Sure did.
And the Auburn Tigers yesterday. And they started fast and,
look at that play.
Tell you what, we really ought to blur that video to protect the innocent. You know? I mean,
boy, they spread Auburn and just ate them for lunch in the second half.
It is a coaching PhD class from Jim Larranega.
Yeah, I mean, those guards are good. They're experienced. They're tough.
Yeah.
They understood it. And, again, Auburn had a great year. No knock on them. Got to be number one. But that was a mismatch in the second half last night.
And you see Coach L joins three others to take double-digit seeds to the Sweet 16 at two schools. He did it with the Patriots, of course. They ended up in the Final Four. Remember when they beat UConn and D.C. to get there? Rudy Gay at Jim Calhoun team. Wow. Steve Alford, Missouri State, UCLA. Gary Williams, of course, BC and then Maryland. Tom Pender's Rhode Island and Texas. Did you notice, we didn't mention this in the first time we were talking about this, did you notice that late in the game, what Larranega did in the last 2.5 minutes?
Started the ACC chant?
No.
Four corners.
He went four corners.
He did, and there's nothing you could, when they have the lead.
He went four corners back.
With those guards, and you know, here's the other thing: it's not just one guard; they've got basically four guards.
I know.
I mean, McGusty's a problem. Wong, enough said. Charlie Moore's experience, and again, plays so smart. You know, you always wondered about, like we talked about Miami SC going in that first game. What do you like? Long, athletic, in size, or do you love guards? And that was the intrigue, and we thought it'd be a tight game, and it was. That could have gone either way. But, man, if you've got great guard play, you can run deep into this tournament. And that sets up Miami against another upstart, the 11 seed Iowa State. And like I said earlier, there's guaranteed lock that a double-digit seed is making it to the Elite Eight.
Man, T.J. Altsenberger's done a phenomenal job coaching the Cyclones in his first year at Ames. Other little guideline about the NCAA tournament. It's not a rule. It's a guideline. What you don't want to do is say something before a game that'll come back and haunt you after the game. And if you lose the game, it'll haunt you the whole offseason.
As it should.
Zepp Jasper of Auburn.
This was stupid.
Before the game said about Miami, then their dynamic transition, which they are very good. They're in the ACC and we're in the SEC. We're one of the best defensive teams in the country. They haven't seen a defense like us. Yowza.
Transition points, 24-0 last night. Get that all over you.
How's that defense?
Just means more when you have the 24 part.
Holy Pete.
I mean, you can't be that stupid. Well, I guess you could.
All right, real quick before we get to Carolina, we will talk about the Tar Heels in a moment. Notre Dame went scoreless from the floor in about the last five, but a drought in the last three to fall to Texas Tech 59-53 out in San Diego. O'Banner for the Red Raiders, 15 points, 15 rebounds. Here's the other thing, too. Texas Tech was lights out at the line in the last, what, two and a half pack?
Last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It was a good thing because, as I mentioned, they made one of their last 11 shots and then go on a 10-0 run.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, like I said, just sloppy with the basketball. Two really costly turnovers, missed free throws. They just did not execute at championship level with a three-point lead with 2 minutes to go. And that's the ball game. And Texas Tech, they're a really good club. Man, they're tough, physically tough.
It's another guy's done a nice job first year.
Guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. So congratulations to Coach Adams and the Red Raiders. They'll move on to meet Duke.
And the ACC is going to have to figure out the Big 12 a little bit. I know North Carolina knocked off Baylor, eliminating a one seed. But the ACC, 8-2 so far in the NCAA tournament. The two losses to Texas Tech. Into Texas.
Pretty good weekend for Bob Bowlesby, too, by the way. He's got Iowa State, Kansas, and Texas Tech.
Yeah. I got the conference records here, if that makes you happy.
Uh-huh.
Do you want those? Big 12's 9-3.
Okay.
ACC's 8-2.
Yeah.
Pac-12's 4-1.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're, again, this will be discussed this afternoon on radio.
America's Basketball Conference, how are they?
They're sub-500.
Okay.
They have six teams in, five eliminated. All five were eliminated by double-digit seeds.
Whoa.
And they had teams seeded 2-2, 3-6, 6. And their four is left standing against Gonzaga Thursday night.
All right. When we come back... Well, the weirdest, wildest, emotional roller coasters you could ever get on Saturday, and you didn't even have to go pay for it. It was free for the taking. Carolina put you through it. Tar Heels advance, though, to the Sweet 16 next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer in Durham on a kind of a wild Monday, man. We've got so many things going on. Hoops has been fantastic. Three ACC women's teams in action today and tonight, trying to punch their ticket to join Louisville in the Sweet 16.
We got three men's teams in the Sweet 16. We got two men's teams in the NIT quarters, right?
Yep. BC on the women's side.
BC plays on the women's side after a second round game. So here we go. We got a lot going on here.
Yep.
All right. If you needed the emotional roller coaster of the National Collegiate Athletic Association Division I Men's Basketball Championship, I have the game for you. Carolina Baylor. 93-86 in overtime. Tar Heels led by 25, a smooth 25 in the second half, Pack.
With 10 minutes to go.
And how did it end up in overtime?
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? I mean, you got an ejection for an elbow. You got R.J. Davis going for 30. Caleb Love does not reach double figures.
And fouls out.
Armando Bacot has double-figure rebounds, but not double-figure points, right? So what? How in the world? I mean, he ended up with a double-double. Right. But in the second half, he has double-figure rebounds, but not double figures in points. And Carolina's still hanging on. And at the end of the game, you got to meet Dontrez Styles. You had no idea who that was, did you?
When North Carolina, I said earlier, I'm going to be completely honest with you. When they blew that lead, and it's going to overtime, and the whole building's buzzing.
I mean,
they've got no momentum. Manic's out because they couldn't stop Manic. Manic was getting ready to go for 40 against Baylor.
Yeah.
He was going for 40.
Right.
He ended up with 26,
mm-hmm.
being, what, the fifth player in North Carolina history to go, what, back-to-back 20-some plus. But nevertheless, so Manic's out. Love's out. You just blew a 25-point lead. Place is going nuts. And you look at the lineup that North Carolina puts out for the jump ball for overtime. You're like, how are they going to win this game? I mean, I really did not like their chances at all. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And then Dontrez Styles fires up a three from the corner, and it goes.
Right.
And you're thinking, who is that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Who's that? How many threes he made this year?
That's it.
And North Carolina's off to the races. I thought the effort in that overtime was so gutsy. I mean, that was a – man, it would have been so easy to roll over and go, man, we blew a 25-point lead. Mm-hmm. I can't believe we lost the game. I mean, just mentally to think where they were going into overtime, much less who you had on the floor or who you didn't have on the floor is maybe the bigger question.
Right.
I thought North Carolina's effort in overtime was sensational.
Yep.
Because they were absolutely in no man's land. And by the way, North Carolina, by beating Baylor,
yeah,
did something that's never happened before in North Carolina basketball history. It was the first time ever that they defeated a defending champion in the NCAA tournament.
There you go.
There's something new for you.
How about that?
I saved that one for you.
Dontrezl Styles, by the way, has hit three threes this year.
Yeah. And when he let that thing go.
What'd you think?
And I'm thinking, ay, 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 ay. First of all, who's the guy taking the shot? Second of all, why is he shooting?
He's from Kinston.
I don't care. He could be from my neighborhood, which was actually not too far away. But, dude, it was a big three. And it just kind of set the tone where North Carolina took a deep breath and said, all right, let's go win this thing. It's our game. We shouldn't have no business being in overtime. But, man, what a game. I mean, I'm still kind of crazy about this.
Let's process here for a moment. Because – a little more than a month ago, Carolina lost a home game to Pittsburgh.
And the talk was from the nation, hey, are they a tournament team? Should they be in?
Remember the 40 minutes in Blacksburg was to determine their fate, right?
This team's not a tournament team. I heard that from a lot of people.
Okay, so what have we learned? Where were we wrong? Did we not allow the growth process for Hubert Davis in year one to take place? Did we not understand in early January the incorporation of Brady Manek and, you know, Dawson Garcia ultimately leaves the team. Anthony Harris is not able to play the rest of the year, so they lose a little bit of depth. Did they have to reset, reboot, if you will? What did we miss here?
I don't know if people were wrong, because when North Carolina was off, they were bad. Let's be honest.
They had no good losses early.
Yeah, I mean, their losses were ugly losses.
Well, you mentioned, 29 to Kentucky and Vegas,
it was
right?
Worse than that, wasn't it? I thought it was 35 or something. Well, whatever. I mean, we saw the back-to-back games with Wake and Miami where they were down 30 in both. And you're like, who are these guys? What's going on here? So
right.
I think the perception, which I think was reality at the mm-hmm. time, was that North Carolina's toughness – and their manhood was challenged.
Right.
And I think it's one of the things that Hubert's been preaching like nobody's business, that, hey, you got to get tougher, and we got to figure that part out. And I think they have. I mean, when we were at Cameron Indoor, and they're getting off the bus before the game, you knew what they were walking into. This was going to be a beehive of activity, the emotion and that thing. And they came right out of the gate and punched Duke right in the face.
Yeah.
Now, that was a back and forth, but that second half effort – where there was no substitutions and those kids just gutted it out and beat Duke, kind of set the mindset of, hey, it's a team on a roll. The game you did at Virginia Tech, that was a tough game. There was a lot on the line for both those teams. So I think North Carolina's kind of matured as this year has gone on. But as Hubert said afterwards, man, the toughness that that team showed, not only in that Duke game weeks ago at Cameron, but in that overtime, man, that is hard to do mentally, just to get over the fact that I can't believe – we just blew a 25-point lead, have no momentum, and two of your stars are no longer available. That is reaching down deep. That's a gut check, man.
The stat about losses and no good losses is Carolina trailed by 20 in 7 of their 9 losses this year.
And that's just getting beat. I mean, that's just, hey, where's the effort? Where's the want to? And that they have gotten better, markedly better, as this year's gone on from that department.
Yeah. Here's Hubert Davis after the ball game and Armando Bacot.
None of us wanted to go home. And so it's a highly competitive game. Baylor is defending champions. They were a number one seed, and they are absolutely unbelievable. And you just had two teams that were fighting and scratching and kicking and clawing. They stepped up their effort, but we stepped up our effort as well. And we were able to make the plays that we needed to make in order to win the game.
None of us wanted to go home. We don't want to leave. I don't want to leave my brothers. And I mean, it was a tough last 5 minutes in overtime. And I mean, all year we've just been hearing about different things about us, how we're a soft team, how we don't like to fight. And I mean, today I think we really showed that we can fight, and just to persevere in a moment like that and just come together. I mean, I'm just so proud and glad we won.
There you go.
You know, I know what's UCLA coming up, as we mentioned earlier today. It's only the third time they're going to play each other in NCAA tournament history. But I want to go back to the Marquette game real quick. North Carolina's beat Marquette sideways. Remember, there was a little altercation, and,
right.
and Hubert was really adamant. Talked about it.
Right.
And that's the mindset of, hey, we're not going to get pushed around anymore. We're wearing this team out, and they're pushing us around. Hmm. Nonsense.
Okay.
So I think that came into play, too, with the Baylor game. I mean, that – North Carolina, I think if you're a North Carolina fan, you got to be absolutely giddy with where this team is in terms of how they've developed and the fact that they're still playing going to the Sweet 16.
You saw that St. Peter's is in the other half of the bracket with Carolina. They meet Purdue. If you weren't with us earlier in the show, what'd you say? We're kind of done there.
No, they're great. They're cool. Right?
Yeah,
America's embraced them. Yeah. They're a great story.
And feeling good
Peacock
about
Peacock fever and all that stuff.
Yeah, but
it's time for them to go. So let's get down to it. They're not a national championship team. And if you're a New Jersey guy and you're upset at me, I don't really care. You're a 15 seed. You're an awesome story. Loved watching you play. Knocking out Kentucky.
Probably going to lose your coach.
Listen, they get all the accolades in the world going their way. But for me, when we start getting on in this tournament, I want the best teams playing. And I think Purdue will take care of that. I do.
All right.
You disagree?
I just think it's awesome. I just think if Erdat goes off again and they win and beat Purdue Friday, don't have a show before after they play. Until Monday, and if they were to go to the Final Four, it would be.
Well, then I'd say the same thing. You know, it's time.
Time to move on. Okay. All right.
It's a cool story. It's awesome they beat Calipari and outcoached him too, and that's tremendous. Oh, but it's time to go. We're getting to the best. Let's get to the best teams playing for a championship.
I got you.
Okay. I'm all about the best teams.
We've got a few things bubbling up here. The Deacons are on the way to the SEC to play Texas A&M. Tony Bennett had to work overtime at the Super Pit last night in Denton.
No problem.
No problem at all. Cavaliers are on to the Final Eight in the NIT. That and more when we continue. Final turn on Packer and Durham next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
ACC softball, Saturday, high noon, Marissa Young and Duke on the road at Notre Dame. Our coverage is presented by TIAA.
Like it.
Right here on ACC Network and streaming live.
Done
on
until
the
something
ESPN
gets
app.
Sold.
That's right.
ESPN sales department all over it.
Thumbs up.
I like it.
Yeah. Thanks to Hall of Famer Muffet McGraw, Pitt football coach Pat Narduzzi for being a part of this show today. Pittsburgh Pro Day featuring Kenny Pickett coming up 1 o'clock Eastern time today. We'll have coverage. Todd McShay will be boots on the ground in the Steel City. EJ Manuel and I will guide you through the rest of it right here on ACC Network.
I like that.
Three teams in the men's Sweet 16. We got one already in the women's side, and we got three games today. Wolfpack.
Like NC State at home. Road games were tough.
Irish at Oklahoma. Tar Heels at Arizona.
Two true road games. That's tough. That's why you made a big deal last week of being a five seed as opposed to a four.
I'm going to tell you right now, Muffet McGraw, confirm my suspicions, misseeding by the Women's Basketball Committee. And especially in the case of somebody like Connecticut.
Well, it wasn't a misseed for the NCAA because they want the money. They want people in the stands.
Yeah.
The NCAA didn't misseed. Now, whether it's got to do with fairness is a whole different story.
Right. And then, you know what? Here's the other thing. And I know this is, we've talked about the equality in the tournament and some of the things of March Madness, marketing, and all those type things. That's all fine. But Debbie Antonelli, Doug Feinberg, who covers women's basketball, had a thing about the crowds and some of the crowds at some of the women's venues. And Debbie Antonelli has talked for better than a decade about playing the women's event in one city, not combining the tournaments. That was discussed a lot last year, as you know, but playing the women's event in one city. You know what? At some point, that may be something the NCAA wants to look at. Think about it. You take over a city, you find the place that's got the venues, and do it. That's going to be a bigger challenge with the full 68, but nonetheless, Indianapolis proved last year you could do it. You and I know there are a handful of cities that can do it.
Whatever makes you happy. Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm kind of indifferent to all of that. Yeah. Whatever the NCAA women's tournament wants to turn into, I'm all for it. I think it's great. It's called March Madness. I think it's great that there's 68 teams and the ladies have the opportunity to participate at that level.
Uh-huh.
I think it's great that the television coverage is what it is. So whatever you guys want to come up with, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't feel strongly one way or the other.
We do have some breaking news here, Mark, at the close of the show. The University of Virginia has just announced they have hired a new women's basketball coach. Amaka Ogunigwe-Hamilton comes to Virginia after being the head coach at Missouri State for the last 3 years. She's a native of Northern Virginia, from Herndon, went to Oakton High School. 74-15, 46-6 in the Missouri Valley, won two Missouri Valley regular season titles, played in the past two NCAA tournaments, including a Sweet 16 trip a season ago. Amaka Ogunigwe-Hamilton, Coach Mox, is twice the Missouri Valley Coach of the Year. She's also spent time in Virginia as an assistant at VCU and also on the staff at Old Dominion and is a Hofstra grad. Our congratulations to Amaka Ogunigwe-Hamilton as the new women's coach at Virginia.
Look forward to having her on the show.
Absolutely.
Making her debut at some point in time, so good for her.
Yep. Speaking of the Cavaliers, late night action at the Super Pit in Denton, Texas. No big deal for Tony Bennett, right?
You know you're in trouble when you're going to the Super Pit.
Yeah, you are. Go to the Super Pit. They got Texas flags in the lanes. They win 71-69 last night. And guess what? The news got better for Virginia because Oklahoma lost at home to St. Bonaventure. So the Cavaliers are going to play St. Bonnie's either Tuesday or Wednesday night at JPJ for a right to go to New York and the Final Four of the NIT Pack. Or Wednesday night the game is, by the way. Wednesday night.
Well, like I said, the ACC men, you want to change the narrative? All you do is win.
Yeah.
And right now, when you combine the NCAA tournament and the NIT tournament on the men's side, the ACC is a robust 12-2 so far. Pretty impressive.
How about the Deacons? Wake Forest, Steve Forbes' team, continues to roll. They beat VCU. That was a foul fest. We talked about that earlier.
49 of them.
80-74 the final. Look at that. Joel Coliseum crowd on a Saturday afternoon. Davion Williamson throwing them in from three. There's Dallas Walton going to work on the Rams. And now the Deacs march on. And, in fact, they march all the way to College Station to meet Texas A&M, who won a couple ball games, including a victory over Oregon on Saturday. So the Aggies and the Deacons this week to determine who goes to New York's. And two women's NIT teams are still alive. Boston College, Coach Mack, and Jen Hoover in Wake Forest. Also involved, there's a look at the women's NIT matchups for tonight. BC hosting at 7. Wake Forest is at Middle Tennessee at 7:30. The women's NIT second round action continues.
Wake a replacement?
Yes, that is correct. So, how about we finish with hockey?
Excuse me?
Hockey? Yeah. We got hockey in the league. You know that. Notre Dame's a 3 seed.
They're not even in our league.
In the Albany. Well, you know, just bear with me for a minute.
Wait a minute. They're not even a league member.
Not in hockey because we don't have hockey as a sport.
So what are we talking about?
Just to pass it along, share the school news.
If it's not Jerry York, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, it's Notre Dame, 3 seed in the Albany Regional. They'll play North Dakota State on Thursday. They've reached 4 Frozen Fours most recently 4 years ago in 2018. Look at the Irish with the gold hats on, huh? Yeah, I like that. Good look.
I'll be honest, I'm kind of a Jerry York guy.
I know you are. I mean, I'm aware your affinity for Coach York, but that's Notre Dame beating Ohio State.
That's fine.
They hope to do in football this year, too.
Well, good luck with that.
There you go. So, that's all I got all. That's it.
Marcus Freeman's still looking for his first win.
We're tapped out. That's it. I've got all I've covered it all right there. We got three women's teams playing today for a chance to go to the Sweet 16 on the ESPN Family of Network. Starts at 4. Last one starts at 10. How we do today?
Full show today.
Yeah. All you wanted.
I'm just glad we got a lot of good things to talk about.
Yep.
ACC getting the job done on the hardwood now.
Yeah, tell you what, three points are good. Yeah, very nice effort. First week of the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah. I could think of networks that are having to talk a lot of spring football.
Yes.
A lot of spring football.
Yes, they are.
Come up with excuses why.
Didn't work out.
Didn't quite work out. Didn't quite live up to the hype.
No, no. Appreciate the efforts of Muffet McGraw on this show. Thanks to Pat Narduzzi, Pittsburgh's Pro Day at 1 o'clock today. And then basketball takes over this afternoon. We'll have EJ Manuel and I'll have coverage of Pitt Pro Day. Kenny Pickett going to throw as well. And how about Pat Narduzzi with some breaking news? Jordan Addison's going to get 10 balls.
10 balls.
And the pitch count will be on.
Yep.
Jordan, you get to run 10 routes today.
10 balls. Happy birthday, Brian Ives and Gigi Packer today.
Yes. Have a great day. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Another edition of Packer and Durham. Boys are ready to go out. Take care.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.